Hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. And this is our special Friday night program entitled Eden to Eternity. From creation to restoration, we explore God's plan to bring us back to His original design, communion, peace, worship, and the rest He promised in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me and I will give you rest. My name is Emily, your host for today, and joining me as always is my cousin Naomi. Welcome, Naomi.
Thank you, Emily, and welcome to all the listeners. We're so glad that you can join us on this very, very special night.
Yes. What is it?
I don't know. What is it?
It is the 2nd of January, so we can say
Happy New Year!
It's 2026.
Oh, that's
mental.
That's like something from a Blade Runner movie. Like, that's just crazy.
2026.
Space Odyssey 2000 or Space Odyssey 2026. It's just not real, is it?
Yeah,
that's
crazy. So strange. So, yeah, so Happy New Year to all you listeners.
Happy New Year. We hope you've had a beautiful New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And now here we are, the 2nd of January. And what a privilege it is to come and talk to you all this beautiful evening, coming into the Sabbath hours right around Australia for our program, Eden to Eternity. How are you all? We hope you're having a lovely evening wherever you are.
Yes. And so all this week on Drive Time, it has been, the theme has been New Year and a new start. And Naomi, for you, what does New Year's mean, or what do you usually do on New Year's?
Well, New Year's Eve used to be, when I was little, nothing. But when I became a teenager, it was important. My sisters and I would get dressed up and go out. I remember we went to a ball one time. That was great.
Sounds cool.
and you know, sometimes, you know, it would be the early hours of the morning when you'd go looking for breakfast. So the sun would be rising and we'd all still be, you're raising your eyebrows, but it's true. We would be all
stay up.
Stay up late. There wasn't any drugs or anything involved. I never took any drugs, but, it was fun. And then, you know, became a thing of, well, if you didn't do stuff, then it wasn't good and it wasn't going to be a good year, that sort of thing. Like, you had to always have a nice party. And I know that, you know, when I had other friends and they actually didn't really – they'd have parties all different times of the year, but not on New Year's Eve. They kind of were the opposite of what I had sort of done. And so I was like – that really challenged me. But you guys always have parties, but why, you know, why nothing tonight? It's really boring. There's nothing to do. But, you know, now that I have come back to God, I'm just not really interested in any of that, because the great New Year's Eve that you think you want to have and you don't ever really have, I guess. Yeah. But to me, we are on the eve of eternity. Mm. And that's the real eve that I'm looking to, interestingly, play on words there, Eve, Adam and Eve, like Eve made her choices, made us be in the world we are, but our choices will make us stay in the world we are. Just think about that, people. That's just come to my mind. So we're on the eve of eternity, and whether or not you had a great New Year's Eve or maybe not a good one or a sad one, a tragic one, all sorts of things can happen. I remember one year just before, it was the day of New Year's Eve, in the daytime, we were burgled and we couldn't go out because we didn't have a back door, because they'd kicked the back door in. So that was a pretty bad year.
Wow.
For me, New Year's Eve now, it's full of hope and joy, because it's not about having the most bestest time on that, at that moment. It's really going into what is coming very soon, which is Jesus Christ is coming, and we are on the eve of eternity.
It's a great opportunity to really just to stop and think about, I guess, where your life is headed and where you want it to go. And we've got a real great topic for tonight, don't we?
We do. We have a fantastic topic, and we know that being the season of New Year's Eve and the new year, we're in the new year now, that we often, you know, it's actually a time of great depression for people. There's suicides, there's many different things that happen that aren't good. And that's because I think, just like what you were saying, that we search for the happiness in this moment of, you know, it's got to be the best fireworks, the best party. But we come up short every time, really, because things cannot actually give us joy.
Mm. And we try to make New Year's resolutions, but we can never keep them.
Yeah, apparently they, like 1.7% will still exist by February 1, which is pretty sad. But, you know, the thing that will go on is the love of God. And tonight we're talking about the new start that changed your life. So if there was a great, you know, program you can attend out there and everyone's going, oh, you've got to come to this. It's a new start that changes your life. Oh, let's get on that. Well, it is a real thing. It's Jesus Christ. And we've got a wonderful guest tonight, Bruce Niabatunga. And he's a wonderful young man. He's only 26 and he's not married, ladies. So just think about that for a moment. he's a catch. And he lives in Brisbane, but I'm sure he would move if he met you. Sorry, Bruce, I'm matchmaking you with all the single young ladies in Australia. But no, in all seriousness, the new start that changed my life is what Bruce is going to be talking to us about tonight, which is a wonderful topic for this week, because all this week on Drive Time we have been celebrating the fact that it is the coming into the new year, and now for us, Eden to Eternity, being on this beautiful Sabbath night on Friday, we are January the 2nd, and so we are here just to end the week, the Monday to Friday Drive Time with a beautiful topic of the new start that changed my life.
Wonderful. Now, before we go to that, we have a free giveaway for all our Faith FM listeners. What is that, Naomi?
Correct. If you didn't get the gifts you wanted for Christmas, guess what? We've got a gift for you.
Another one.
Yay. Another one, yeah. And it's by Robbie Bergen. And I know those of you who listened into our Christmas week program, we had one of his other books. Well, this book is called Finding Peace Amidst the Storm, and it's a beautiful book. And Robbie Bergen, for those of you who don't know him, he has a wonderful program on Faith FM. You can go into browse and see the podcast there of all of his programs, which are called The Faith Experiment, and they are absolutely brilliant. So get onto that. It's fantastic to listen to. But this book, you can get it by dialing 0488 808 11, and the code, listeners, for tonight is SA356. So that's SA as in South Australia, and the numbers are 356. So SA356, text that in to our Drive Time number 0488 808 11. So that number again is 0488 808 11, and the code is SA356. So Finding Peace Amidst the Storm, it talks about life storms, which we all know are unavoidable, right? But peace is in the midst of them. It is possible. And in this book, Pastor Robbie Bergen shares his personal journey. I love books that are about a personal journey because we can relate to it. It explores biblical principles for overcoming all of your stress, your anxiety and fear. And it shows through practical insights, the powerful stories, and a step-by-step faith experiments that Robbie Bergen did. And this book guides you to discover the peace that God promises, a peace that we know just surpasses all understanding. You can't get it by all of the Christmas gifts in the world or all of the best New Year's Eve parties. The peace that surpasses all understanding is about coming close to God. And what Robbie does in this book, he tests God's promises, and we learn how to experience lasting peace even when life is out of control. And I know for a lot of people, they do feel out of control this time of year. It's a different routine. You're not at work. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've got to move. Maybe you've lost loved ones. Maybe you've lost a partner or parents. So this book offers practical steps for you to find peace amidst the storm and to navigate stress, anxiety, and all of that is through prayer, gratitude, and trusting in God's promises. So please text in to 0488 80811. That's 0488880811, and the code is SA356. That's SA356.
Awesome. Excellent. And now, friends, before our special guest, we have some music, and this is Draw Me Near by Meredith Andrews.
For your nearness, Lord, I hunger. For your nearness, Lord, I wait. Hold me ever closer, Father, with such a love I can't escape.
And that was Draw Me Nearer by Meredith Andrews. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And it's so wonderful to be able to join you as we start this new year. And we have an exciting special guest that's going to share with us this evening.
Yes, we're so privileged to have our very, very good friend who we've had on the program before last year in 2025, but we're so blessed to have him as our first guest for our first program in the new year. Bruce Niabatunga, welcome and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much for having me again.
It's wonderful to have you. And for the listeners who perhaps don't know you, could you tell us a little bit about you and what you do? I know that you live in Brisbane. And you travel quite a lot. Why is that?
Yeah, so live in Brisbane and doing a lot of ministry, mostly preaching, just traveling and preaching at the moment. So that keeps me busy.
And where do you travel to normally?
Throughout Australia. I've been through every state so far. And so, yeah, just mostly interstate.
And what do you think is the most challenging thing that you are seeing out in the different places you travel to when you're invited to preach on the circuit of the different churches in the Seventh Adventist Church?
That's a really good question. I think, yeah, wow. I think probably one thing that I've noticed is that a lot of the times we as church members or as Christians, we're asleep and we do not recognize that we're living in such a crucial time of Earth's period and history, and it is now to really, really commit our lives again to Christ. And unfortunately, I'm seeing more and more individuals just fall back and not take as seriously as we should our Christian walk. Mm. So that's quite sad when I travel and see that. But God is faithful. I'm encouraged that God is very faithful and he will awaken us in due time.
And in terms of young people, what do you think is the biggest, I guess, challenge or the biggest need for our young people, both Christian, non-Christian and Adventist, that you see, that you come across? Because I know you work quite a bit in the community and you also have several siblings that are younger than you as well.
That's a really good question, Naomi. I think in terms of young people, one thing that I've seen is that young people desire to have a personal relationship with Christ for themselves. And they have all these questions, but a lot of the times they don't have those answers, whether in church or at home most of the times. And there is this disconnect that happens when they're at home because they see their parents maybe living one way. And when they're at church, they live maybe a more, what would you say, a more lamb-like character is observed. Mm. And that's almost hypocritical lifestyle causes a young person to have a lot of questions. And a lot of the times we see a lot of young people leaving the church for this very reason. And so one of the hardest parts is that young people face is they have questions, but a lot of the times they don't have those answers, both in church and home.
And so when you're saying that, do you mean like they might see their family at home and how they're interacting, especially the adults, and then they go to church and see like a different face or a different side? Is that what you mean? And so they're perplexed by that?
That's correct. Like, for example, I've spoken to a few young people where they tell me something like, if God is anything like my father, I don't want anything to do with him.
Oh,
but
wow.
You find that the father is maybe the elder of the church or is a deacon, or even if they're not just a church member, when they're at church, they put on this facade, if you would, and of godliness and holiness. But when they're home, it doesn't transfer over, if you would, which is quite sad, very sad.
And so for young people that perhaps are listening, or even anyone of any age that's listening now, and perhaps they're in that situation, they're on the edge of eternity thinking, well, if so-and-so is going to be in heaven, I don't want to be there because I don't love the way they treat me. I feel rebuked or I feel unworthy or unloved. What would you say to young people in that situation?
I would encourage a young person to study the character of God for themselves. I know it's very difficult, but okay, maybe two things. One would be finding a mentor, whether in church or in their own home, who lives and portrays the Christian lifestyle, the godly lifestyle, and just to encourage them. But on top of this, I really encourage a young person to really study the character of Christ for themselves, because it is quite easy to attribute the character of mankind, whether it's father, mother, brother, or sister, and attribute those characteristics because they claim Christianity and attribute them to God. But those two things are not true. A Christian doesn't always behave in the manner that God approves of.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I remember my dad always said, you know, if you want to know what a Christian is, look to Christ. And I think that's good, because a lot of people leave the church because so-and-so said something, or, you know, that's a pastor's son, or that's a pastor, or she's, you know, supposedly a Christian, look what she's saying. So I think you're right. It's a really interesting thing to do that. I know one minister pointed out in a sermon last year, if it is those things that happen to you, even though they're incredibly hurtful and terrible things someone might have done to you or said to you in church, or that is a part of your Christian walk, he put in the situation where if we're truly embedded with Christ in our heart and holding on to him, even though these things are, you know, we're not condoning the things that may have happened, but that that we must continue. We will continue walking with God because we're so embedded. We couldn't not, you know, not keep walking with him, because see, it's him who's really the love flow. And I guess if those people don't have that, then they are in need of Christ just as much as we are. I suppose that's a way of looking at it. Obviously not condoning what people might be going through, or perhaps the situation they're in.
Amen. 100%. And I think there's biblical examples where it seems to be the case that just human nature attributes God's professed followers and their character to God himself, which is not always the case, that those two things, it's not a good idea to do. But yeah, I love that. If you want to know what a Christian is like, look to Christ.
And there's been, obviously, my dad, you know, became a Christian when he was quite young, and he, you know, he was a missionary and lived in through to 95. So he'd obviously seen everything in the growing church in Perth, in the hills, and in the city. So he would have probably seen it all. So yeah, I think it's a valuable statement to know. In terms of your walk with God, what are the main things that you're doing now where you are? You're in Brisbane, and you've got a number of siblings. How many siblings have you got?
I have six siblings, five sisters and one brother.
So you've got a brother hanging in there with you. My brother had three sisters, or has three sisters, and he's the only boy, and his name's Daniel. So we used to call him Daniel in the lion's den. Do you feel a little bit of that at home?
No, I don't actually. But my sisters have been really good to me. Probably, I think I've been spoiled, very spoiled.
Oh, okay. And you're the eldest?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I am.
And what's a day in the life for you at the moment? Like, what, obviously, you know, it's the holidays now, but what sort of things were you up to in 2025?
Day in the life. Okay. So in terms of as soon as I get up?
Sure.
You haven't even opened. I'll do my devotions.
So you haven't even opened your eyes and you're doing your devotions. Great. I love it.
So I'll get up out of bed and do my devotions. And then after my devotions, we have family devotions after that, and just prepare for the day. And that's when I'm at home. Otherwise, I'm usually, just up and about. I'm usually preaching and running some programs, whether that's health programs or running some prayer programs as well.
Wonderful. And what's been the highlight of 2025 that you have seen God's hand in?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first thing that came to mind was there was a a prayer revival meeting that we were running in Melbourne for a church there. And it was incredible to see how many young people just surrendered their lives to Christ. And in fact, that transferred over to wanting Bible studies. And so we're still doing those Bible studies today, where young people are just really hungry to know the Word and to know God and to really walk with Him in a very personal way. And so that was... yeah, honestly, the highlight of my year.
Wow, that's incredible. And there's a real joy when you see that, isn't there? In somebody accepting Christ and then wanting to study the Bible with them.
Yeah, 100%. It's incredible. It's not always that in ministry you see the fruits of your labor, but when you do, it's amazing. It's really encouraging, really encouraging.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, what we're going to do now is go to a song, but don't go away, listeners, because we're going to be back with Bruce Niapotanga, and he's going to share with us some wonderful insights into the year that was.
And so here is the song Near the Cross, and this is one of Bruce's choices, so we'll get to chat to him about that after. So here is Near the Cross.
Free to all
And that was the beautiful song, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we are joined by our special guest, Bruce Niebatonga, and he is from Queensland. And that song was his choice. He picked Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. And so, Bruce, I just wanted to ask you, why that song? What do you love about that song?
Well, I really love this hymn, Emily, because I think when I was younger, I saw myself to be a great sinner. And one day I heard someone say something to this effect, that at the cross, the ground is level. And I was so enthralled with that thought that I could come to the cross and there I might find forgiveness of sins. And there I see Christ, the infinite sacrifice that he paid just for me, that I might be saved. And so it's really a prayer of mine that God would keep me near the cross, that daily, that the cross would be at the forefront of my mind and thoughts and all that I do.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And it's just amazing when you think about how God doesn't look at some people and he loves them, and other people he's like, you've kind of done a little bit too much terrible things, and so I can't love you as much. But he just sees us as his creation, and he just wants to, well, he wants to experience a relationship with us, and he wants us to experience the joy when we give our lives to him, doesn't he? And when he forgives us.
Amen. Amen. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's just so beautiful that at the cross, we are all equal as well, aren't we? Because we're forgiven when we all come together. No matter what we've done, we're all forgiven. That's absolutely beautiful. So, listeners, as Emily said, we're talking to our dear friend Bruce Niebatonga, and he has a ministry, lives in Brisbane, and has a ministry all around Australia. And I love how you just talked previously about the beautiful prayer revival that you did, and how that really stuck with you as a beautiful moment of young people giving their hearts to God. So all this week we're talking about the new start, because obviously it's the new year. And so for us, the question tonight is, we want to talk about the new start that changed my life. And what do you think, Bruce, in your life, where was that new start? What was the catalyst for the new start in your life?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it was when I was actually in Adelaide, living in Adelaide when I was quite young. And I remember I was in Sunday school class, and my Sunday school teacher gave me my first Bible. And at this point, before this, I had been praying and asking God to change my life, because I saw myself to be a great sinner. Because when mom told me to wash the dishes, I would do it, but begrudgingly. I wouldn't feel so happy. I didn't like washing dishes. But I saw that the more I read about the story of Christ and just read my Bible, the more I recognized that, oh no, I'm so far off the mark. Yeah. And so that was when I was about maybe 10 years old, maybe a bit younger, but around about 10 years old was when I got my first Bible, that I could say that, yeah, God was really working something new in my life and my heart.
And what was different? How did you feel that was different once you were reading that Bible and knowing God was close?
Good question. I think I started to see, I became more patient and more willing to do things that I didn't like doing initially. So, for example, I gave the example of washing dishes. And so before, mom would ask me to wash dishes, and while I would do it, I had this emotion of like, yeah, I really don't want to do dishes. I hate washing dishes. But I started to see that going away and being more proactive in helping out at home. And those things, I recognized like, wow, this is God completely. Because before this, I had tried to change myself. I had tried so much to make all the effort possible to help out at home and less whinging. But without a veil. But when Christ, when the more I spent time with Christ, the more I was reading the word and praying, I started to see something different in my attitude.
Mm, that's so interesting. So you spent time with Christ and time in the word, and you felt something was different. Because to me, listening to that, people might think, oh, yeah, you're a normal child that didn't want to wash dishes. But what's interesting to me, once we sit and fester in something, be it anything, we're using dishes as an analogy here or as an experience, I often then think of where that will end up. Because you think of Lucifer in heaven, and it started with, I don't want to do that. I want to do my way. And there's pride, there's arrogance, there's indolence, there's a lack of love, isn't there? And then he actually accused God of his laws were too harsh. So even though it might seem simple, I guess, to listeners, it's a very big point for young people, because especially young children, because if they lose that love for others, we know they've lost the love not just for God, but they don't want God in their heart. Do you find that?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I think it's very important to really present Christ to the children, because I think they realize their sinfulness more than maybe parents sometimes realize.
Mm. Can you unpack that a little bit for us?
Yeah, sure. I think, for example, like just even observing from my younger siblings when they were much younger, children know when they've done wrong. And they know a lot of the times that they ought to do right and that there is a standard. And, for example, I had my little brother one day come to me and he was crying. And I asked him, Joel, what's wrong? And he said, Bruce, I don't know what to do. I want to do right. I want to do right. But I just find myself doing the wrong thing. And I want to do that which God wants me to do, but I have this also voice inside my mind telling me to do the wrong thing. Mm. And I don't know why. And you see, what I realized there was that even a child is able to recognize that there is this battle against the flesh, that which adults maybe say there is a battle, right? Battle within.
Yeah.
And Paul says that for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do.
What does that mean?
And so it really means quite simply is that Paul found that he wanted to do right, but he found himself doing wrong. Mm. And the wrong that he didn't want to do, he found himself doing that. And so he found that there is this war between two desires, a desire to do right and a desire to do wrong.
Mm.
And the same is true even in the heart of the child.
It's interesting, though, to me that your brother knew that. He knew that difference. He knew that there was something that wanted him to do something bad, but he knew that it was wrong. I find that fascinating. Mm. How old would he have been? And can you describe how he is now?
Yeah, so I think he was about 5 or 6 years old at this time,
wow,
actually.
That's young.
And so, yeah, it's quite young. And now, honestly, my little brother is one of the gentlest boys I know. He's far gentler than I was when I was younger, I reckon, and very considerate. And he has his own struggles for sure, but I see God is really working on his heart.
And what's his name and what does he do now?
His name is Joel.
Hi, Joel. If you're listening in, I hope that you are and supporting your big brother. How old is he now? What does he do?
He's 12, so he's still in school.
Oh, he's just a baby. Okay, lovely. Well, hello, Joel. And maybe we'll get you on the show one day and interview. That would be good, actually, to get lots of young people on the show. So we're going to take a break now. Well, not a break. We're going to go and hear some music, Emily. And what have we got?
So now we're going to have I Surrender All by Jaden Lavick. So this is I Surrender All.
to hear my freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily there. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior.
Surrender All by Jaden Lavick. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi, and we are joined by our friend Bruce. And we've had such a wonderful discussion just seeing how the world is, and especially those people that are Christians, and how there's such a need for a revival and for young people to come to know God, to really choose to put away the things that are distractions and to give it all to God. And I really think that song that we just listened to, I Surrender All, sums that up.
It's one of my favorite songs, I Surrender All. So, Bruce, you were talking before about as a child when you knew that, and your brother as well, knew that something was wrong and you wanted to do good, and you would dwell in the word, not the world, in the word of God, and also come close to God. When you surrender all, and if we decide, like, this is the new year, and, you know, people make these resolutions, which usually they say don't really make the end of January. So, you know, in 30 days, they might be gone. When we surrender all to Christ, what is it that is going to happen to us, Bruce?
That's an amazing question. I think God's desire, there's a quote that comes to my mind. And it says that higher than the highest human thought is God's ideal for his children. Godliness, God-likeness is the goal to be reached. Now, this is God's desire for each and every one of us, that we may better reflect the lovely image of Jesus. And this is only by the condition of surrendering our hearts and lives to Christ. And so what we can expect really is, as we daily surrender our lives to him, that there will be an outward difference that is shown, which is evidence of a transformation of the heart.
So an outward difference shows the inward transformation of the heart. I love that. And how would, I mean, this is the new year. It's a new start. And you said you had a new start when you were 10, when you really wanted to come to God, and you did. What is it that young people out there can do to have that transformation of heart so that the outward shows that difference that Christ is dwelling within? What can we do?
That's an amazing question. I think a lot of the times it's probably overcomplicated a bit.
I agree.
I think it's so simple. It's so simple. And a verse that comes to mind is in the book of Proverbs 23, verse 26, that simply says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." Wow. And it's as simple as that.
Can you say that again for us?
Yeah, sure. So that's Proverbs 23, verse 26. It says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." And so all that God desires from us is that daily we just give him our hearts. And when you read a beautiful book called Steps to Christ, you find that it there says that we ought to pray, "God, take my heart, because I cannot give it." We even struggle to give our heart, but it's really that simple. It's just daily asking God to take our hearts and allowing him to work in us a transformation of our lives. We can't do it of our own selves. It is God that does the work in us. And Philippians 2 tells us that it is God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
What does that mean?
So basically, that I'm going to use maybe a fancy word, I'm not sure, but righteousness by faith. Righteousness by faith. And all that really means is that God is the one that does in us that which we cannot do. So really the gospel, the beauty of the gospel is that it is not just God doing everything. This is what I see, at least. It's not God doing everything. Neither is it man doing everything. But rather, it is the combination of the will of man being surrendered to God. And it is the combination of divinity with humanity. And Cross-Subject Lessons, a beautiful book, says when the will of man is surrendered to God, it becomes omnipotent, and all his biddings become enablings.
Wow.
And so what does Philippians 2:13 really mean when it says that God is the one that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure? I think that what it means is that God cannot do for us that which we do not give to him. In other words, in order for God to change our hearts, we must give him our heart. And so when we give him our hearts, he places in there a desire to do good, but he also gives us the power to do good, which is a beautiful thought to really think about.
It is.
And so all that we're really asked to do is really just to give our hearts to him daily and surrender to him.
Wow, that's amazing. And I love that verse that you quoted, Proverbs 23:26, that we give our heart to God and let your eyes observe my ways. So it's like if we give our heart, God is going to let us see all these amazing things. There's that verse that comes to mind. I know Emily will be able to finish it, that eye hath not seen nor ear heard.
Neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him.
To our dear listeners, this year ahead can be the most beautiful year of walking with God, and we just have to reach out, don't we? We just have to reach out and say, "Come into my heart." Is it as simple as that, Bruce?
It is. It really is. And I really praise God for the simplicity of the gospel. Unfortunately, sometimes it's, as said before, overcomplicated, but It is as simple as that, that God, Christ, come into my heart.
Mm.
And as Christ abides in our hearts, he really transforms the heart. And people begin to see the outward transformation that is an indication of inward transformation.
And there's that beautiful song, Into My Heart, isn't there? Into My Heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Yeah. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And, you know, God really wants a relationship with us, doesn't he? It's not out of duty or obedience. He just says, give me your heart, not your performance or your works or not your perfection, but the perfect thing that he has made in you, which is the heart he gave you, that he wants you to then give it back to him and dedicate it to him. It's just so, as you say, it's so simple, really. And, you know, I would encourage all the listeners to, for this first day, or this is the second day of January, but it's the first part of waking up for the new year, to really simply say, Lord, I don't know how, and I don't know if you really exist, but will you please come into my heart? Like just saying those words, as you said, Bruce, it's as simple as that, isn't it?
Amen, 100%. And, you know, just thinking of that, just over the Christmas season, I thank God so much that Jesus came, but I also thank God that Jesus came and was born in a manger. And I was thinking about this, that, you know, if Jesus came and was born in a royal palace, I don't think the gospel would be quite the same. And because, for example, like, I think it was Jacob that said to Esau, so he had just met Esau and they had just reconciled, and Esau says to follow him and he would go ahead of him. And Jacob says something so interesting, so very interesting, and that I think that it's a principle that Christ follows throughout Scripture. And it there says that Jacob says, no, he will go steadily. He'll go slowly because he has young children with him and flock that have young lambs. And he says to Esau that I'll lead on softly according as the cattle goes before me, and the children may be able to endure. And I was thinking about this in terms of like just Christ being born in Bethlehem in a manger. And I just wonder that, notice that Jacob doesn't lead the group based on the strength of the strongest, but the weakest link. And I think that, you know, if Christ was to live was born in a royal palace, maybe a poor man would look at the scriptures and say, you know, Christ is not for me. He doesn't know what poverty is.
Yes.
But the fact that he was born in a manger, in a place, grew up in Nazareth, that the Bible is amazing, that every class of individual can read and see Christ and see themselves in his life. I just really love that. And it's this person that we are asking for him to come into our hearts, someone who knows that our struggles, who knows our needs, our wants, someone who left all of heaven that we might be saved.
That's just incredible. And, you know, we've come out of this Christmas season when people forget that it's commemorating Jesus' birth. They're forgetting, as they say, the reason for the season. So I just love what you've said, that, you know, because Christ was born in a manger, we can relate to him. And we know that that wasn't an accident. Everything is providential. As my dad always said, life is a series of uninterrupted divine providences. And we know that going through the Christmas season, the new year, and looking down the road of 2026 can be a little bit scary for people. But if they look to Christ, this beautiful Jesus that was born in a manger into poverty, and there was no room for him even in the hotel, that he was born in a barn with animals. I think you're right. I think you're onto something, that we can look to that and go, Jesus is for all of us. Jesus loves us. This is not something for the elite. And interestingly, in the Bible, we learn that those that were looking for the Messiah missed it because they were looking for an earthly kingdom. They were looking for things that would give them the exaltation and the pride that they had in their hearts. So to me, it was also coming for those who needed it, who needed, as Jesus said, I've come not to seek the saved, but to seek the lost.
Mm. What a beautiful thought that the Bible is for everyone. I think when the rich man reads the scriptures, he sees that God left, that here is God that had all of heaven. And we're told that God did not count his riches in glory, as it were, to be something to hold on to while we're yet lost. And so really he sees Christ to be a rich man, but he leaves all his riches in order to save just one person. But then the poor man reads about him being born in a manger, and he recognizes that Christ was quite poor and growing up in Nazareth and probably not the best of situations to be born in, but also sees his need there. And I just praise God in terms of like just what Christ has done for us. It's amazing to see that so many individuals can see their life in him and recognize that Christ understands.
Mm. And then we can recognize, when we see that, I believe we can then recognize our need for Christ. Do you think that's true?
100%. And I think that was probably the goal in the divine mind. That's probably why he allowed the scriptures to be written the way they were and the events to take place the way they took place, that we might see our need for him.
And we just ask for our listeners, what is your need today? What is your need for 2026? And we know that if you lay that at the foot of the cross, that God has told us, I will supply all your needs, whatever it is. Are you going through a divorce? Are you losing your home? Have you lost your job? Are you alone without your family for some reason? Or are you going through a terrible illness? Or you've just found out about an illness for yourself or a family member? We know that Jesus fulfills the promise that he tells us, I will never leave you or forsake you. And if God is real and the Bible is true and that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life, then we know that this, you can take it to the bank, that it's true, that he will supply all our needs. I'm wondering, Bruce, could you pray for us and for all the listeners, for those going into the new year? We know that there's always depression. There is desire for things that we probably don't really need, because we feel that we must pursue things in this world. But we know that only the kingdom of God is going to give us peace, and a peace that passes all understanding.
Amen. Yeah, I can pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so very thankful, Lord. We're so very thankful for Jesus. We're so very thankful for your love toward us. Lord, as we come to the new year, I pray, Lord, that we may not enter without Christ. And I pray to the dear listener that is now tuned in, I pray, Lord, that you would be with them and that you would speak to their hearts. I pray that they might see Christ and him crucified, that they may see that he came to this earth to live and to die, that we might be saved. Oh Lord, during this Christmas and New Year season, I pray, dear God, that, Lord, please, may you draw near your children. And I pray that they may feel your presence very near. And I pray, dear Father, that, Lord, the thought that Christ came, was born in a manger, and lived a godly and holy life, died on the cross of Calvary. I praise God that it doesn't end there. But 3 days in a tomb, then he rose again, and is now in heaven preparing a place for us. I pray, Lord, that the dear listener may choose heaven today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Bruce. Thank you for being with us on this beautiful Sabbath evening, the first Sabbath of the new year of 2026. We're so very blessed to to know you, Bruce, and we will be praying that perhaps you can come here to Adelaide to do a prayer revival, just like you did in Melbourne this last year. And we just thank you. And I know that we are very blessed to have heard your stories and your love of God. And we know that the listeners will be very blessed as well. So thank you for coming onto our program. And we pray that we can speak with you again soon. God bless for the new year.
God bless you both. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you, Bruce. And so now, listeners, we are going to listen to a beautiful song, Let Jesus In. And I think this is really what we want you to know for this program, is to give Jesus a chance. He wants to come in and he wants to transform your life. And just like the verse says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. And so let's listen to Let Jesus In by Matt and Josie Minikas.
Have you ever heard a story that woke inside your heart? Longings you could not express. Like maybe there is something so much better than you dreamed, and it's the answer to that aching in your chest. Have you ever wanted to be better than you knew you could be? Or experience something beautiful that filled your heart with peace? It's in your honest moments, in these beautiful things, you have heard Jesus, you've heard him calling. He has been knocking. Let Jesus in. Let Jesus in. Let Jesus into your heart. Don't turn him away. Don't wait another day. Let Jesus into your heart. Ooh, let Jesus into your heart. In the laughter of a child, in the mountains tall and wild, in a melody, in the kindness of a friend, in the hope that this is not the end. You have heard him speak. It's in your honest moments, in these beautiful things, you have heard Jesus, you've heard him calling. He has been knocking. Let Jesus in. Let Jesus in. Let Jesus in to your heart. Don't turn him away. Don't wait another day. Let Jesus in to your heart. Into your heart. Whether you're young or old, if your heart's grown cold and you're regretting things that you've done, but deep down in your heart you want a new start, and right now you are feeling God's tug. It's not to throw open the gate, to let Jesus into your heart. He's knocking today. Don't turn him away. Won't you let Jesus into your heart? He wants to come into your heart. Let Jesus in. Let Jesus in. Let Jesus in to your heart. Don't turn him away. Don't wait another day. Let Jesus into your heart. Ooh, let Jesus.
that was Let Jesus In by Matt and Josie Minikas. Friends, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. Tonight is our special New Year's program, the last one for the week, and it's so wonderful to be here on Friday evening. And we were joined by our friend, Bruce Nibatunga, and he is from Queensland, and he was sharing his experience and just his desire and burden for all of us and all of you that are listening to experience Jesus. I think that's really what it is, and to allow God to change us. And it was really amazing, wasn't it, Naomi?
It was so beautiful, yeah. It's wonderful to hear someone who is Spirit-filled, who is listening to God, not just in his walk with God, but in his devotions, and therefore what we put in definitely comes out. And as we go into the new year, what a wonderful way to start to hear that message, especially for young people, those of you perhaps who are struggling. You know, you can look out into the horizon and you just can be shaking your head, what is going to happen? And if you're at that point, listeners, we just encourage you to pray. Even if you've never prayed before, just to bow your head and say, God, if you are real, come into my heart. I want to have the transformation that I have seen around me or that I've just heard Bruce has. I want to have that. I want to make that commitment. And he did that at 10 years of age. I didn't. Emily, you did that at what age would you have been?
Well, I was, around 10, and I got baptized a few years later. So,
yeah. Wow, the same. And so, yeah, I would encourage you, those of you who are listening, who are perhaps wondering, coming now into, we're in the 2nd of January, we're moving into the new year, and as you look forward and you look back and you feel at a crossroads, well, I would say taste and see, step forward and just give your heart to God. What does that mean? Well, it's simply accepting the gift. Just as we talked about in our Christmas programs, of accepting a gift at Christmas is exactly the same as accepting the gift of Jesus Christ into our lives. It's as simple as saying, thank you, I accept your gift.
Mm. And we actually, listeners, have a free giveaway that will definitely, I know that it will help you on this journey. And Naomi, would you be able to share this with our listeners?
Yes, we have a beautiful gift for tonight. It's written by Robbie Bergen, our beautiful free giveaway, and your gift for the new year is Finding Peace Amidst the Storm. And it's a really lovely book, listeners. It's written about how life storms are unavoidable, but peace in the midst of them is possible. So in Finding Peace Amidst the Storm, Pastor Robbie Bergen shares his personal journey, which is quite remarkable, and explores the biblical principles for overcoming stress, anxiety, and fear. And through practical insights and powerful stories, we hear step by step in his faith experiments, this book that guides us to discover exactly what is the peace that God promises, a peace that surpasses all understanding. And, you know, it's really important to test God's promises for yourself and to learn how to experience what is known as lasting peace. Even when, you know, life feels out of control, this book is such a wonderful book because it offers practical lessons to help you. It helps you navigate stress and anxiety, and that's through prayer and having gratitude and especially trusting God's promises. It helps you cultivate habits that promote emotional, physical, and spiritual peace, and to stand firm on God's promises even when life feels out of control. And that's why it's called Finding Peace Amidst the Storm, and that's by Robbie Bergen. So text us on our drive time number, which is 0488 808 11, and that's 0488 808 11, and the code for tonight is SA356. So that's SA as in South Australia, SA356, no dots or dashes or spaces, SA356, and text that to 0488 808 11.
Wonderful. And yeah, listeners, I know that this book, it will really, really help. And I know that, you know, it can seem like all these things are so cliche. And I know for me, growing up, hearing it, you know, from a child, you're like, yeah, right, sure. But when you really test God's promises, like my dad would always say, you know, with a command, there's always a promise. And so when God says that he wants us to, you know, to be like him, well, he's promising us to give us the strength to give those struggles to him and to give us victory. And a beautiful verse which correlates with what Bruce was talking about in Proverbs, it says in Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of you, and I will put in you a soft heart. And so God is promising to give us a new heart. And if God promises it, it means that it's true, isn't it?
That's so amazing, because we know that God, what you said there, Emily, was incredible, because God gives a promise and he means it. We can yes. follow it through in our lives. And we know that, I just love the things that Bruce was saying, that he was talking about in his life, how Jesus has come into his heart. And when we think about, as he said, the Christmas story of Jesus coming to earth as a baby, I would say let's not repeat Bethlehem. Because what happened at Bethlehem was that a lot of people, they didn't know that he was coming. Mm. When they found out, they ignored it. And he was not greeted by many people. It was the shepherds, there was the wise men. And so what we want to do is learn about what is going to happen, that Jesus Christ is coming back. And why is he coming back? Because he promised to come back.
Mm.
And in the Bible, when you see all the prophecies of when he was going to come as a baby and as the Messiah, we know that came true. And we can read it in the Bible hundreds of years before it happened. And that's what prophecy is for, to show us that God is real and that what he does, he knows the end from the beginning.
Mm. And the Bible says that now is the day of salvation. And so when Jesus comes the second time, it's going to be too late. That's why he says now, choose now.
That's very true. So it's not like, okay, we're going to wait till the plane, you know, or the train comes into the station to get ready to get on it and to pack our stuff. No, we've got to be ready before that happens. Or, I mean, a lot of you are traveling, you're going on holidays, and I know that you've already prepared for that. You've booked your reservations and you've booked your planes and your hotels. And so today, going into the new year, we really want to just share that we know that Jesus Christ is coming back. And so what we want to do is be ready now, because, the second coming for me could be tomorrow morning, as in that if I were to die tonight, tomorrow could be for me the next thing that I know is Jesus Christ coming when I open my eyes. And I know for us that life really can be really difficult. Not just life, but looking ahead to what will life be. And so I would encourage all the listeners to go to the Bible, open the Bible, and to pray, and find a Seventh-day Adventist church and ask for Bible studies. Because I know for myself, when you start to learn the Word of God, you learn about his promises and you learn about prophecy, and then your faith is strengthened.
Yeah, exactly.
And if we look at the beautiful promises in the Bible, if you do go into a Bible study, what it does is it strengthens your faith. It strengthens your understanding of who God is. It becomes a personal relationship, because God has prepared us. He's actually prepared us for that. And we look in the Bible at some beautiful texts which tells us that in John 14 verse 3, for example, I will come again. And there are promises that we can actually rest on. And we know when we look at the Sabbath, that is a promise as well, that Jesus came to us as a baby, and he dwelt with us, and now we can dwell with him on the Sabbath one day a week. And we know that during the Christmas time we feel that need of drawing close to our family. Well, the Sabbath also shows us that during that time of the week, which is tonight, that we can actually draw close to him and be in a temple of time with him. We know this time of year reminds us of our loneliness, but what we want to do is draw close to God and who created us. He redeemed us, and we can rest in him, not just during this holiday time, but each Sabbath. And because the promise is that Jesus will come again and that we will be going home and there'll be no more death or dying or crying or sadness. And as Bruce pointed out in Christ Object Lessons, that beautiful book, he talked about the humanity of Christ. And there's a beautiful quote in it which says, "The humanity of Christ is everything to us, the golden chain that binds our souls to Christ." And we know that by drawing close to God, he will draw close to us. And that is something that I would encourage you to do. As we come in now to 2026, what a wonderful, wonderful hope to look forward to, not just the future of this year, but the future of eternity with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And I love how the Sabbath, it reminds us of so many things, but especially that God is the creator and he is the recreator and he is the all-powerful God. And so here we have a song now that is talking about the Sabbath, Temple of Time by Matt and Josie Menikas.
God took 6 days and created earth and moon and stars and sun. On the seventh day he rested from the work that he had done. Then he blessed it, made it holy as a gift for every man to remind us where we came from and just how this world began. Forsaken and forgotten, desecrated and profane, but the sacred fourth commandment is still valid and unchanged. Hear the Father gently calling, if you love me, keep each one, not for merit or salvation, but because you love my son.
Was Temple of Time by Matt and Josie Menikas. Friends, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And tonight is our special Friday night program, Eden to Eternity. This is where we explore God's original plan of rest and peace for us. And a little bit earlier, we were joined by guest speaker Bruce, and he was sharing just how simple it really is that God just invites us to give him our heart. And when we surrender to him and we give ourselves to him, he has promised to do the work in us. And it's just so, so wonderful. And so, friends, as we come to the close, Naomi, I just want to ask, what would you like our listeners to know before we go?
Well, I'd like our listeners to know that you will find peace in Jesus Christ. You will find peace in prayer, and God will go ahead of us. He's already here in your today, and he's already there in your tomorrow, because he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he never leaves us or forsakes us. He tells us, I will go before you and make the road straight. He tells us that in Isaiah. He tells us in Psalm 121:8, the Lord shall preserve you, your going out and your coming in, from this time forth forevermore. And God is our strength. We know that it tells us in the Bible, God is our refuge and strength. So you won't be walking into the new year alone or empty. He fills us. He will supply all our needs. And we know that God loves us beyond anything. He says to us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And my favorite psalm of all, which is Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in need. And also Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We know that God's peace will guard our heart. He will look after us. And even though things may seem difficult, or you may not be able to see the road ahead, God will be with you and he will be by your side. Even if you don't know him, as I said, I encourage you to pray, Lord, if you're real, show yourself to me. Bring someone into my life who can show me the scripture. Have someone cross my path that will give me encouragement. And I would say to you, don't, as we enter 2026, don't enter the new year without letting Jesus enter your heart.
Mm. Yeah, that's so beautiful. And like the song that we heard just before, let Jesus in and don't let it wait another day, because he wants to come in. And I know that your life and your year can be completely different. Like, I know for me, coming away from home, going to a different state, which is not really that far away, I guess, but it does, even though it's challenging, that's exactly where I want to be, because God, he brings, he satisfies you, and you have that peace knowing that you're exactly where he wants you to be.
You're exactly where he wants you, because if you say, okay, God, I surrender my heart, give him your heart and say, okay, I can't do this. You need to take over, but I'm going to give it to you. So you need to let go of it, surrender, and God will lead you. There's a beautiful text in Isaiah 40:31, which says, and they that wait upon the Lord, which means we shouldn't rush ahead. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. So it's a beautiful promise. Mm. And I encourage you to give your heart to God. And as we enter 2026, enter it with letting Jesus into your heart.
Mm. So happy new year, everyone. And thank you so much for joining us. From creation to restoration, this is Eden to eternity. Until next time, rest in the promise in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, and I will give you rest.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.